what a teacher tells me to do at school. And the whole point there is just to understand that they know what sin is. And as soon as you know that, I just immediately ask, well, have you ever sinned? And just say it kind of like that. And most of the time, children are just honest, and they'll say, yeah, I have. And then I just immediately say, and you know what, I have too. And it's that we tell them that immediately, so they don't think you're scolding. Immediately say, I'm a sinner too. And then to share with them, did you know that everyone who has ever been born, everyone you see, has done things that are wrong. So that they begin to understand that everyone is a sinner. But then just to explain to them, well, you said that Jesus died on the cross for our sins, but it's not enough just to know that we have sinned, and it's not enough just to know that Jesus died on the cross for our sins, that God sent Jesus to do that for us. We have to do something else. And a good scripture to use, and evangelists have used it so successfully through the years, and it's a wonderful scripture to use with children because it's an illustration, is to just quote to them Revelation chapter 3 and verse 20 and say, you know, Jesus said, behold, I stand at the door and knock, and if any man open the door, I will come into him. And I think it's good to walk over to an actual door. Maybe you're in a den or you're in a living room or something like that. Walk over to a door and say, well, you see this door here? There's a doorknob here. Just imagine that on the other side, that there's not a doorknob and there's not a keyhole. And so the only way for the door to be opened is for you to go over and to actually open the door. Well, that's how it is when Jesus comes knocking on our heart. Jesus comes knocking and he wants us to come in, and that's what makes us begin to ask questions and want to know more about God. That's a sign that Jesus is knocking on your heart. When you ask that question, how do I go to heaven? That's a sign that Jesus is wanting to come into your heart. And so you just have to open that door. And then it's important to remind them that when we do that, when we say Jesus and we ask him to come into our heart, that immediately there are two things that happen. In the first place, our names are written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. And it's recorded in heaven. That usually gets a smile out of a child. You say, you know, your name is in heaven when you ask Jesus to come into your heart. And they like that idea right away to know that. And to say the Bible says that the angels rejoice when your name is written down in that book. And it's very important at that point to say to a child, and do you know that when Jesus writes your name in the Lamb's Book of Life, the devil can't take that name out. No angel can take that name out. And your enemies can't take that name out. Once Jesus writes that name in the Book of Life, that name is there forever. And it's very important to stress with children is that when we ask Jesus to come into our heart, that he never leaves. That Jesus comes into our heart to stay. And that's because they may have friends that they think are no longer their friends. They need to understand that Jesus is a friend who never leaves us. And he is always beside us. He comes in to stay. And then what I like to do is over to 1 John chapter 5 and verse 13. And if the child is able to read, especially, this is important. And I turn over there and I say, now, this is what I want you to do. I want you to read this verse out. I'm going to quote this verse. And as I quote it, in fact, you just turn there, 1 John chapter 5 and verse 13. I say, I'm going to quote this verse, and you read along with me, and I want you to know I'm going to make a mistake. And when I make a mistake, you point out to me that I didn't do this right, okay? So we'll go over to 1 John 5:13, and I begin to quote as they read, "These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may think that ye have eternal life." And the child says, oh, you messed up. That's your mistake. It doesn't say think. It says no. And then that gives you a real good place to say, that's right. The Bible says that we can know for a fact that heaven is our home, and we can know that Jesus lives in our heart. We don't have to think that maybe he's there or wonder if he's there. We can know that without any question. We ask Jesus to come into our heart, and he writes our name down in the Book of Life. Then we know from that point on that heaven is going to be our home. The next thing that's so important to talk with them about is the invitation time. Because that can be scary to a child. They think, well, if I go up there, what am I going to say to the pastor? What am I going to say to that preacher who's been preaching when I walk up there? And that may be scary to them. And particularly if a child or a grandchild has been saved in your home, it's important to say, I'm going to call the pastor. I'm going to tell him before Sunday that you're going to come down. And he'll already know why you're coming. You don't have to tell him anything. You might say another thing. I'd ask you if you ask Jesus to come into your heart, but he's going to know why you're coming, and you don't have to be worried or nervous about what he's going to say. And then it's important to talk to the child about why we do that. We say, The reason we do that is because Jesus said, if you will confess me before men, I'll confess you before my Father in heaven. But if you deny me before men, I'll deny you before my Father in heaven. And confess is kind of a big word, so you might say something like to tell. That Jesus said, if you will tell other men about me, then I will tell my Heavenly Father about you. But if you don't tell other men about me, I won't tell my Heavenly Father about you. So we don't want to be ashamed of Jesus. We want everybody to know that we've asked Jesus to come into our heart. And that's why it is that we go down in the invitation time, so that all the world can be just as happy with us as what we are. And then it's important to talk to children about baptism. And you know, really, and you probably remember this, particularly if you were saved as a child, you might remember the fact that after you were saved and then when you were baptized, that really it may be the baptism that becomes so memorable to you, that really burns it in your mind because it's so unusual and it's so different from anything else that we do, that the baptism just kind of seals that experience that we have had in coming to Jesus Christ. And so I say to them, well, a baptism is a symbol. Particularly if a child is already in school, you might, with your sheet of paper there, do a plus sign and a minus sign. And then say, now what does this mean? And they'll say, well, that means to add. You say, well, what does this mean? They'll say, well, that means to subtract. And you say, well, now it's A-D-D, add. It's just a symbol, right? Or it doesn't say M-I-N-U-S, not a minus sign. It's just, you already know what it is just by looking at it. And then you might just explain that baptism is that same thing, that we go into the water. It's not so much what is being said verbally as it is a symbol of something that has happened. And just say to the child, really, when you go into the water to be baptized, it's telling a story about two different people. First of all, it tells a story about Jesus. When you go down into the water with the pastor and you're standing there, what that says is that Jesus lived, that he was a person, he came to earth, and he lived. And then what does this preacher do? They'll say, them under the water. He dunks them, they'll say. You say, that's right. And what did you tell me earlier? That Christ died for our sins. And so that pictures that Jesus died and he was buried. And then you might say, now did Jesus stay dead? And usually a child will say, no, he rose from the dead. And you say, right. And so that's why you come up out of the water, because it represents that Jesus Christ rose from the dead. And then you might say, now you remember we said that it was about two people. When you get baptized, it tells a story about Jesus, but it also tells a story about you. It says when you go down into the water that you were the person you were before you came to Jesus. You're just standing here. It's you, Johnny or Sally. You might use their name, and it's saying, here I am standing. But then when the preacher takes you under the water, it's saying, all my sins have been washed away, and Jesus has come into my heart, and all those old sins are buried and they're done away with, and God doesn't even see them anymore because he has completely made them clean. And then when you come up out of the water, it says you're a brand new person. It's just a symbol of what happened to you when you asked Jesus to come into your heart. Now, it's very important that we explain to children that, of course, the salvation is what took place when they prayed. Your name was written in the Lamb's Book of Life. That was your salvation. But what's going to happen in the baptism is that you're going to be able to tell everybody that Jesus came to live in your heart. They all can know that you're a Christian. Now, those are just some things that are just practical things that I think help to explain to a child how it is that they can come to Christ. And there's no greater joy than to ask or to help a child ask the Lord Jesus into their heart to lead them and to guide them in that.